Okay, so glad you're back with us here at GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's special guest, Peter Grandage. Well, with the precious metal sector showing some positive price action, who better to have back on the show than a veteran of Wall Street, Peter Grandage. For over a quarter of a century, he has published commentary on the mining and metals sector and is editor of the Grandage Letter. Any time on the golf course this summer?
Probably played the least amount of golf since I took up the game 13 years ago, partly weather and partly trying to calm myself down from what was happening in the gold market. So no, I haven't spent that much time out there as much as I like to.
No, it's understandable. It's certainly been a difficult year after 12 very sunny years. You know, we've seen some positive price action. According to Jim Sinclair, there's been a big decline in the COMEX warehouse inventories, and he thinks this could force officials to change their physical delivery system. The COMEX will have to shift, apparently, to cash settlement rather than bullion, and that also includes some interesting machinations with the GLD shares, that's the gold ETF. According to one media source, COMEX inventories are quite depleted. In fact, the stockpile amounts to less than $10 billion. Any thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's all part of something that has come together in my eyes to the point where earlier today I wrote a report to my readers saying I was in the most bullish position ever on gold, and that says a lot for me. And what I really had a chance to do was to take a look back and really take a hard look at this and try to be objective. And what I concluded was it all started when the announcement first came from the Germans that, A, they couldn't get in to see their gold, and then finally when they were able to, they accepted just a 20% shipment back over a period of 7 years. And I stopped and I said, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. It's not realistic. It's not right. There's something very wrong there. That was followed, of course, by the dramatic and very unusual trading patterns of selling gold at the worst of times anyone that was a real seller would. Combine that with the fact that while the paper market was declining, there was such great demand for gold that it was still selling at $100 or higher than the paper price. Then we learned most recently that China and Asia in general have been enormous buyers of the gold. And then combine that with what you just mentioned, that these gold declines that are happening in vaults. And it you know, the old saying, something is rotten in Denmark. Well, it may not be rotten in Denmark, but it's rotten at the COMEX or the CRIMEX, what I like to call it. So there's all of this has just made me think and try to get past the emotional wear and tear from the recent decline and to say that, wait a minute, there's something very wrong here, and if I'm right, then the reversal is going to happen, and it's going to happen in a big way, and that's what I concluded now and what I'm looking forward for.
You know, Jim Sinclair also goes on to note that gold will soon soar above $2,000 on its way to $3,500. Gold then could kick into overdrive and blast even 10 times higher. Jim Sinclair is arguably one of the top folks in the sector. He has been for many years. I'd like your thoughts on his forecasts and what you think about some of those lofty price targets.
Well, first of all, I go back with Jim for many years. I've appeared on different panels in different parts of the world with him. I have a high degree of respect for him. He certainly has put his money where his mouth is, and he's been adamant. He's never hedged or double-talked. You know, I can live with his $2,000. That certainly would be enough at this point, and I certainly would welcome $3,500. But I start to wonder what the world would be like and what the life we would be living if we had a 10 times higher price. I just would... It may not be worth it, even if we're all long gold, because we might not have any place to enjoy the riches of those gains. But I certainly believe the $2,000 to $3,500 is very realistic and not pipe dreaming, and have a lot of respect from the man that's saying it.
Investors are demanding gold delivery worldwide, particularly in Asia. Now, when compared to a stock like, let's say, Google or Apple, with a market cap with hundreds of billions of dollars, just one of those Dow components alone could buy up most of the COMEX inventory, in many cases several fold many times over. Plus, J.P. Morgan and Brinks are reporting huge drops in their inventories. At what point will we see a huge shift in investor mentality where the funds just funnel from one extreme to another into the precious metals?
Well, I think there would have to be a smoking gun. Something would have to transpire that would certainly demonstrate that, you know, something has gone very, very wrong. I do think we get an indication of that, and that is that some of the most historically short people who have been adamant on the short side have let it be known that minimally they've at least covered their shorts. We've also seen a dramatic change in the commitment of traders, suggesting that those who used to heavily profit and mostly always be on the short side have at least removed a lot of those shorts and in some instances have actually gone long. So I think we have the starting of it, but it would probably take something of an actual realization, a failure of delivery of bullion or what have you, or even Jim's declaring that there would be a change in the delivery system. Then I think the sharks would smell and see the blood in the water and they would come charging in. But I always try to remind everybody, we still live in a world of finance where 98% of the people's focus is on financial assets and their livelihood depends on it. So they're not about to let or be partake or help aid something like you point out rather than try to bury it, because they would be so much hurt in what they already have. So I think it would take something of very significance, but I do think we have the makings of at least that coming about in some way, because we're now seeing a great shift in the sentiment and actual trades by people who were historically always short the metals.
You know, even the New York Stock Exchange traders there are warming up to gold. Legendary floor trader Art Cashin, you may have heard, he's quite bullish on the yellow metal. He noted that for several months, physical gold, such as bracelets, coins, jewelry, small bars, have had insatiable demand, while paper gold has languished. So what is your take regarding the disconnect between the paper and the physical markets, please?
I think it goes back to what I discussed earlier, that there's really two different markets, and the paper market has been an artificial one. And because of what happened, and I believe that people like Agata have been right, that there isn't the large reserves availability of gold out there. A lot of it's been lent out. Again, I got to go back to what I said at the beginning. If you just stop and think, forget everything else, and say, if somebody has something of somebody else's and that person asks for it back, but it's going to take 7 years to deliver just 20% of it back, you'd have to think that party did something with what that person had and has to accumulate it again so they can give it back to them. And that's where I think the big strength of and being bullish is based on. And that's what I think led to a move to try to shake out large quantities of physical gold by attacking the paper market. But it backfired on them, and instead it created even more of a demand for gold itself and physical gold. And I think the other thing that's important as we speak, and yet you don't get to see markets like this, and there's an old saying in the commodities market, when they go into backwardation, which gold has been hovering around these last few days, you never, ever short them. And that's, of course, when the current price is even higher than some current future prices, which strongly suggest that there's a shortage of that particular commodity around. So I think all these things, not forgetting today that we're off a little, and I just think that's some profit-taking after touching the first key resistance around 1350 last night. I just think this is all setting up now for a very, very significant move, a move that I think will be as big, if not bigger, when it's all said and done than any other move that's been in gold. And I want to just make an asterisk with that. As anybody that knows me for almost 30 years, I don't think I've ever spoken like that about gold. So it's not something I've been saying year in and year out. And like a broken clock, I'll be right. But the bottom line is I now think that we are on the verge of perhaps one of the biggest moves ever in the gold market.
I'd really like to see the yellow metal cross over that 1350 and close there solidly for a few weeks. You know, Art Cashin also agrees with analysts who claim that the recent market plunge was an assault by the powers that be, the central banks, who fomented the decline in order to buy back the gold that they had leased at much lower prices. Do you give this line of thought any credibility? Do you see some logic here?
The parties at B were shocked when the Germans showed up. First, let's not forget, they wouldn't even allow them in to see their own gold, and they still didn't get that chance. And then we're told that it was going to take 7 years to get them back 20%. There's no question that there was something very wrong with that, and that's what the hope was. This whole exercise, if you remember the days when gold was sold and the times it was, and it just didn't make any sense, all that type of stuff. And then what backfired was, while the paper market went down, it eagerly brought in more buyers for gold, not those people that owned it rushed to sell it to nobody buying it. And so I just think all that makes sense. I think, you know, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but I do think we can see a good part of it before the end of the year. But the first order of business is, like you said, we need not only to get above 1350, we actually have to get above 1400 to really end any technical arguments that gold can still go a lot lower. Once that's done, the big, big resistance will be in the 1550 area, because that's where gold broke down and had originally held many times. But once through that, there'll be no argument then about it, you know, going to new highs. But, you know, first things first, let's get above 1350 and then 1400 in the coming days and weeks, and then we can go from there.
You know, recently the Federal Reserve chairman backed away from plans to taper monetary stimulus activities. It appears that all that talk was a bluff. Do you expect QE and interest rate plans to continue? And if so, how will this impact the metals?
I think that's an important thing that you state, and I've written and spoken about it at length in recent weeks. First of all, it was more than one step. Bernanke backtracked it, but I actually believe one of them back in April was the tapering was directly aimed not at the stock market but at the gold market to aid the decline, because within hours and then within a few days, many of the Fed governors came out and, you know, tried to backtrack what he had said. So I have no doubt in my mind, I don't see how they can ever backtrack. And it's very simple, and you can't get any of the "don't worry, be happy" people on CNBC, TAL TV, or any to ever answer this question. But the question I always have that none of them could ever answer is, if the Fed has been buying 85 and they're going to back down to 65 or $45 billion in bonds a month, if they ever go to zero, who will replace them to buy in order to keep funding a country that continuously runs in a deficit? I mean, Americans have to understand that we simply as a country spend more each day than we take in. And the way we funnel that deficit is to keep borrowing. Well, if the Fed doesn't create the money out of thin air and buy those bonds, who's going to buy the bonds to keep the deficit going? So, you know, that's why bonds are just an atrocious bet long term. And I just don't see how the Federal Reserve could ever get to the point to walk totally away from this. And the only way it will ever do that is through the inevitable blow off of this debt, when it will either be, you know, renegotiated or heavily monetized, and a combination of all three will be the same. And only after a long period of time of severe downturns does that debt get to be worked off, then when people have confidence in paper again. So I just don't see a way out for the Fed. And quite frankly, I think the Fed chairman sees that and is very much looking forward to not being the Fed chairman anymore.
In one of his recent comments, he actually said that he believes that if they were to curtail their purchases, they're buying up about $85 billion monthly of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, amounting to $1 trillion a year. If they were to curtail or stop those purchases, and I quote here, the economy would tank. In other words, I think if we could decipher some of this Fed speak, there is no exit plan here.
Right. There aren't a lot of great minds that work on Wall Street, and most people are sheep, so they follow what the journalists say. And so when they talk about tapering, they think somehow it could be done and magically you remove all of that and somehow everything stays the same and we're all hunky-dory. It doesn't work like that in the real world. And, you know, that's what we have to keep in mind when you're long gold and all the talk that somehow quantitative easing ends and it's very bearish for gold. It's not. It's what helped gold get where it is and will actually help gold go higher. Because here's what I think the scenario is. I think the U.S. economy really tails off this fall and winter. And then because they already started or put tapering on the table, they will have to go back into a more aggressive quantitative easing mode, and they will go from being viewed as being ahead of the curve to behind the curve of helping the economy, and that's where the real problems will hit, and that's when the real monies will flow into gold. So they've actually, while they hurt gold short-term because of their actions, they actually aided it down the road because of their flip-flopping.
You know, another important aspect to this gold bull market is the negative real interest rate story. The threat of lower Fed stimulus has clearly moved rates higher, at least off those ZIRP lows. And we're even seeing the Treasury inflation-protected securities declining for the first time in many, many years. Has the lower interest rate trend, has that reversed course, or is this simply turbulence?
Well, I don't think we'll see the lows that we had before. Again, part of that is because of the tremendous amount of Fed buy-in. I also just think that some people have concluded and started to realize that putting money in at 1% or 2% isn't very smart. So I think there's been a natural pickup, irregardless of how strong or weak the economy or inflation is, that bonds got way overdone on the long side, and there's going to be more of an evening out of that. So I can see interest rates going back up to 3 or 4% simply because it's being balancing off, not because the economy's roaring again. But let's not forget, you can still have a very weak economy and have interest rates go up dramatically, and that happened in Europe in the last few years as soon as people believed those sovereign countries were going to have trouble funding themselves. And that's what I believe will eventually happen in the States, probably not till at least next year. But when it comes, interest rates can go up dramatically, even without a strong economy.
Returning to gold for a moment, the U.S. Mint sold 21,000 ounces of American Gold Eagles so far this month. It's expected to eclipse last month's total figure. Outside the U.S., demand for precious metals also ratcheting up, as we mentioned. Gold demand in China continues to set records, offsetting sluggish demand in India. Hong Kong jewelers and banks are reportedly unable to meet demand. How significant is gold demand for higher prices in your perspective?
We saw that paper markets are really artificial and not really a signal of what's happening physically. Because think about it. When all those reports came in and showed people willing to pay $50 or $100 over the premium, the paper market should have reversed and went up to match it, but it didn't. Physical demand eventually will be the straw that breaks the camel's back to the paper market when it becomes overwhelming. And another important thing that's happening is we're seeing a great shift to where paper market is trading. We're seeing more and more trading in China. We now know the Koreans have announced they're going to open a gold exchange. And we're seeing it move away from the Western world and the COMEX, or what I like to call the CRIMEX. And I think the handwriting is on the wall to those parties there. That's why I believe certain real big guys have already moved away, and they see the handwriting on the wall. It may be a little bit longer before it shifts dramatically, but they're getting ahead of the crowd. So I think physical demand is key because eventually it breaks the back of the paper manipulators.
You know, the Fed, the Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of England are expected to continue with their record stimulus activities. Currency devaluation and this race to the bottom is picking up some momentum, according to some folks. The dollar, you know, it keeps recoiling from these attempts to break out on the upside. The greenback has been in this bottoming pattern, I bet you've noticed as well, over the last three consecutive years. Now, when the housing market did the same thing last year, it actually broke out from a three-year bottom to new highs. Will the greenback follow the housing market's lead, or is this really just a pause for much lower prices in the U.S. dollar?
Well, I don't think it's going to follow it, and the reason I feel that way is I think we're going to see a surprise in the Europe gaining momentum. We're starting to see some early signs. We had one today of Europe coming out of its economic doldrum. Certainly not any rockets going off yet, but certainly some early indication one can see when there's an economic rebound. And if there's even the slightest economic rebound in Europe, which has been totally discounted now for years, I think that will knock the socks off of the U.S. dollar. So my opinion is the next surprise in that market is the euro rallying on the heels of better economic numbers over the coming months, and that'll help weaken the U.S. dollar. So I don't see the U.S. dollar following the housing market. And I just want to make one quick comment since you brought up the housing market. I don't think the housing market is roaring. I just think it was so decimated that what's happening now in 10 or 15 years ago would have considered been a real bad housing market, but it was so atrociously bad it looks like it's rebounded a lot. But I don't think that's the case, and one of the things we'll see is when the economy starts to roll over again, in my opinion, this fall and winter, we're going to see the housing market start to roll over as well. And we're just starting to see that in some numbers, especially the late numbers of permits and early initial sales are actually starting to be weaker than people expected. And I think we've had the so-called technical bounce in that market, and I think the housing market will roll over next year. I would certainly be a person that would avoid housing stocks at this point in time after the dramatic run-up.
No, we were recommending the housing sector over the past year with spectacular gains, but I am on board with you. The metric that I follow most closely, new housing starts. 3 months ago, we plunged. We had a little anemic bounce, and then we've come down again in the most recent number. That's broken the trend, the upward trend that persisted for 12 months. This is a very bearish sign and a red flag. And of course, new housing starts, one of the better leading economic indicators. This is more than likely a dead cat bounce. Peter Grandich, could you please tell folks more about the Grandich newsletter so they can find out more about your commentary on the mining and metals markets?
Sure, Grandich.com. I work as a compensated consultant to mining companies, as well as I share 30 years' worth of insights on economics, general markets, commodities, and what have you. It's free of charge at Grandich.com.
Very good. Well, we always appreciate your insights and wisdom, and we'll look forward to having you back on GoldSeek.com radio.